Psychic Choir. Brother Gary. Gary, well, that fine number. Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hope to finish preaching through this book tonight and maybe next Sunday night. Tonight we're on 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. All of this book has been written now to a young Timothy, a young pastor of the church at Ephesus. So we pick up in these instructions from Paul to Timothy in verse 13. 1 Timothy 6, verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light. Let me read that again. Who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts. Father, we thank you for this good day you've given us. Thank you for the word of God that's been taught and preached and sung here today. And I pray you'll bless thy word now to our hearts tonight. Give us something from the word. May it be food for our never dying souls. And Holy Spirit of God, would you feed us now? And would we invite your presence in our midst. Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And so, Lord, bless your word to our hearts and make it worthwhile, Lord, for our turning this way tonight. We know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Lord, give us that liberty as we look into the infallible, perfect, eternally settled word tonight. May Jesus be glorified. Speak to our hearts. Say, somebody here tonight not right with thee or not saved. May this be the night when they'll come down these aisles and make that eternal decision for Christ tonight. Have your way and be glorified in this service and defeat the devil here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, help me now and anoint me. Amen. And amen. Verses 11 through 19 in 1 Timothy 6 here is one paragraph in the Greek, I'm told. And I believe we can write over this paragraph, this heading, Instructions for a Man of God. And in verses 11 and 12, we see that a man of God should flee some things and then should follow some things. And he lists, two, four, six things that he should follow. And then he should fight some things. A man of God needs to flee the temptations of this world. He needs to follow after that which is right and fight that which is wrong. Fight the good fight of faith. Standing for what is right, standing against that which is wrong. And then, this is, some people misunderstand Paul's statement here when he says, and lay hold on eternal life, here in verse 12. Now, Timothy's already saved, so he didn't need to get saved. Paul wasn't saying, Timothy, lay hold on eternal life, you need to get saved. No, he didn't say that. He already had eternal life. And Paul was saying, now, Timothy, just get everything you can out of this thing of being saved. I mean, just enjoy it to its full benefits. And you know, that's a good encouragement for all of us. And we ought not just get in the door of this thing of being saved, but we ought to try to get everything we can out of this matter of being saved and enjoy the benefits of the old-time religion. And that just rejoices my heart to think of all that God has for us if we'll just pay the price. And then Paul continues his advice to Timothy by giving him in verse 13 and verse 14 a specific charge. And he in chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says he charges him to war a good warfare. And then here in chapter 5, verse 21, we see that he said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. So he charged him before three supernatural beings, God, Christ, and the angels. And then in verse here in verse 13, he says, I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, who is the recipient of this charge? Paul, as I've already said, is addressing this charge to a young pastor who's having a lot of difficulties in the church at Ephesus. And so Paul is directing this charge to Timothy. Now, who are the overseers of this charge? Now, as I pointed out, in chapter 5, verse 21, Paul charged him before three heavenly overseers, God and Christ and the angels. Now here he just mentions two, God and Christ Jesus. And they were monitoring Timothy's service 2,000 years ago. And you know what? They see our service tonight, folks. Or they see the lack of our service, whatever it may be. As the old song you've heard many times, our Lord keeps a record of each moment we're living down here. And he said something about now these two heavenly overseers. He said, God who quickeneth all things. The one who was watching over Timothy was the one who gives life and the one who takes life. Quickeneth literally means God. Our God is one who makes all things alive. The God who quickeneth, the God who makes all things alive. And folks, that's our hope beyond the grave, that we do serve a God that's able to quicken and make all things alive. And one day, brother, when the trumpet sounds, then this God who makes all things alive, or who quickens everything, will quicken us when the trumpet sounds. And if we're saved and our body is in a cemetery somewhere, that body will come out. We'll be resurrected, reunited, body, soul, and spirit there in the air. I'm glad he is a God who quickeneth all things. And then he said concerning Christ Jesus, he was one who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He had made a bold confession before Pilate, even though it cost him his own life. And old Pilate sort of sneered and said, what is truth? And truth personified was standing right in front of him in the person of Jesus Christ. Pilate had an opportunity to be saved, but he went to hell. And so Paul is challenging and charging young Timothy to make a bold confession of his faith in Jesus Christ. I like to see somebody that's bold in their testimony, don't you? And I don't have much confidence in a Christian that's ashamed of Jesus Christ. And you have to force it out of him that he's saved. But I found out the best way to do it, folks, is just be bold in your confession to put the other man on the spot. Don't let them put you on the spot. And we need to make sure that our confession is real and that we have a bold confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what did this charge, a third thing about this charge, what did it consist of? Now, the charge was given in verse 13. He said, I give thee charge. And then the charge is spelled out here in verse 14. He said, keep this commandment. Now, what commandment was he talking about? Some think this commandment was that Paul had in mind what the commandment given by our Lord over in Matthew 22, 36 and 37, where he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And then in verse 39, he adds, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So some think that this is the commandment here in verse 14 that Paul had in mind. And certainly we as believers ought to be characterized by love. One of the things, folks, that ought to characterize our life is that we ought to be gentle, We ought to be kind, and we ought to be characterized by love. And I believe if we have the Spirit of Christ, we will show forth the love of God. However, I believe that the commandment Paul had in mind here probably referred back to the four commandments in verses 11 and 12, to flee and follow and fight and lay hold on eternal life, and maybe other commandments to live a godly life and stay sound in doctrine that Paul gave Timothy here. But the fourth thing about this charge is notice how it should be kept. It should be kept in two ways. First of all, without spot. I mean, don't shave it down, don't water it down. Keep it just like I've laid it down, and don't hedge on God's word. And folks, we ought not hedge on God's word here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We ought not compromise God's word at this church. Lest don't God help us not to be a bunch of compromisers around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Then, second, he said, keep it unrebukable. That is, without rebuke, irreproachable. We should live in such a way that the world can't point a finger at us and say, yeah, he makes a big profession. He's a big church worker. Yeah, look at him. So we need to live in a way that the world cannot point a finger at us. Then a fifth thing about this charge is, when will it terminate? Notice, Timothy, keep this commandment in the latter part of verse 14, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, right down to where we live, just live right till Jesus comes or God calls you home. That's what Paul is saying here. Timothy, keep this commandment now until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This word appearing is used for both aspects of our Lord's return. The rapture, when he returns in the air for his saints, and the revelation 7 years later when he comes from heaven in the revelation when he appears with his saints to come back to this earth to set up his millennial kingdom. Now I believe that the appearing that he's talking about here refers to the rapture of the church. This is the next prophetical event on God's timetable. And folks, what we're seeing over in Europe today and in other areas of the world, the great wave of optimism sweeping the world for peace today, I believe it's setting the stage for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because how is the Antichrist going to come on the scene? He's going to come with a program of what? When he first appears, a program of what? Peace, peace. And he'll come, as Revelation 6 says, he'll come on a white horse, but he's going to have a bow with no arrow. He's going to come, he's going to conquer by diplomacy and by a program of peace. That is, until the middle of the tribulation, and the devil is kicked out of heaven, and he embodies the Antichrist, and then he will be a demon, devil-possessed man, and bloodshed will come to the earth, and the wrath of God and the wrath of the devil will be poured out on this earth. But the appearing here that Paul is talking about, I believe, is the rapture, and that could occur at any moment. So what Paul's saying here is, Timothy, be faithful till Jesus comes, and don't slack off, and there's no place to quit, Timothy. Just keep on being faithful till Jesus comes. And folks, that is my charge to you here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, this time of the year, people start coming around and wanting to quit their Sunday school class. People start wanting to drop out of the choir. People won't start wanting to quit their bus route. But folks, let's be faithful now. Let's don't quit. Don't let the devil get you to quitting your job here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We need to just keep on keeping on, being faithful. I like to see a person just stay by the stuff and be faithful. So let's be faithful. As the song says, we'll work till Jesus comes. There's no time to quit. No place to quit for a born-again child of God on fire for God. We're going to keep on keeping on till Jesus comes. And so, Timothy, I charge you, live irrebukable, without spot. Keep this charge until the appearing, the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, let's notice this doxology here in verses 15 and 16. When Paul got to thinking of the blessed return of the Lord Jesus Christ, he broke out into a great doxology here in verses 15 and 16. And he gives us, now look at this, he gives us some of the glory this whole world will see when Jesus appears and when this world sees Jesus. Here's what they'll see. And let me say this, some think that now that in verses 15 and 16, Paul is talking about God the Father. And others think that he's referring to God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So far as I'm concerned, good commentators say it's God the Father, and other good commentators say it's God the Son. So far as I'm concerned, it describes both, and you can take your pick. Now, I'm not a compromiser. You know that. I'm not trying to straddle the fence. I'm just saying I'm not sure which one it is. But if Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and he said, I and my Father are one, so take your pick. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. So it doesn't matter to me which one it is. Either one of them sufficiently describes God the Father and God the Son. But Paul said here in verse 15, which in his times, now he's referring to the rapture, or the first resurrection, which is called the day of Christ. Notice, in his times he shall show, or he'll demonstrate, or he will manifest or make obvious a number of things about, I personally believe this is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, but it really doesn't matter either way on this. But he's going to show or manifest a number of things. And first thing is, who is the blessed and only potentate? When Jesus comes back, he's going to demonstrate, he's going to show to a Christ-rejecting world who is chief and who is the top man on the totem pole and who is the only potentate. Now, blessed here means happy, as you realize. And he is going, when he comes, he's going to be both the happy and the only potentate. Now, I'm told this word, Greek word, for that's translated here, potentate, occurs three times in the New Testament, Greek New Testament. I'm told this. In Luke 1:52, the word translated potentate here, they translate it the mighty. And then in Acts 8:27, this same word here, found in 1 Timothy, is translated great authority. And here, it's translated, the word is translated potentate. So, let's put all three of them together. When Jesus comes back, this world will see him as the blessed and only mighty. They'll see him as the blessed and only great authority. And they'll see him as the blessed and only potentate. I'm talking about my Jesus. All of them describe him, don't they? I'll tell you, when you start talking about Jesus, this thing blesses your soul, doesn't it? There's no one higher and bigger and better than when Jesus comes again to this world to sit on King David's throne and rule and reign with a rod of iron. Then, not only is he going to show himself as potentate, but the King of Kings. King of Kings. Now, I could say a lot about the King of Kings. When Jesus comes riding in Revelation 19, back on the white horse, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then he's coming, and notice the third thing, he's going to show himself as Lord of Lords, or Master, or Dominator of Lords. And Jesus is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming then as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he wants to be the Savior of your soul tonight and the Lord of your life tonight. That's what he wants to be tonight. Is our Savior and our Lord denied. So if you've never been saved, you need a Savior for your soul. Every person in this building tonight needs a Savior for your never dying soul. And you need Christ Where you realize it or not, you need him desperately. Some of our men, a couple of our men tell you this morning, we had to take three boys home. They come in here and unruly on the bus, causing all kind of confusion on the bus. And I think, what did they go to the, also in the, take them to Sunday school class? I think, and they just kept up their, and they were big boys, about 15, 16, somewhere along there, big boys. And I, as we started to take them home, I stopped saying, now, boys, we love you, and we want to help you, and we want to see you saved. And I said, boys, you're going to have a hard road ahead of you. They were laughing and carrying on. And I said, boys, the way of transgressor is hard. And I mentioned the devil. And what did that one boy say? He's serving the devil? Something like that. He'd given himself over to the devil. And I said, you're following a loser. You're following a loser. And isn't that sad that we'd have to send three boys home like that? But folks, we don't have any choice. We can't wreck the whole thing to keep three around like that. The incorrigibles. If they get right with God and get, change their spirit, they can come back. But we're not going to tear this thing up. So some people want to just let them come on and try to help them. We're not going to do that. We're not going to let them destroy everything and just try to help two or three like that. But where a person knows or not, they need to be saved. They need a Savior. Those boys... Melvin, it was sad when you and Brother Joe had to take them on. That broke my heart. Here are these three boys. They're headed for trouble. They're headed for penitentiary, and they're headed for hell and headed for a troubled life. Oh, what a life is facing those boys unless they can get right with God. Now, but if you are saved tonight, first of all, you need to make him your Savior. Then if you are saved, then I think this is the crying need in our churches, that we, as believers, would make him Lord of our lives. And in Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The word Lord, as I said, means master or dominator of your life. And if he is Lord of my life and your life, he's supposed to run our lives, isn't he? And he's supposed to call the shots. And he's supposed to be the boss. It's not what I want to do. As your pastor, I'm not to be the dominator of this church. I am to let him dominate. I am to find out, Lord, what do you want here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, your pastor, and try to lead this church the way he wants it to go. See, he's to be the dominator of our lives and our church. And he is to be Lord of all. Then notice a fourth thing. I'm leaving out a lot tonight. I'll tell you, this is all these things are tremendous thoughts here. Just every one of them. You can preach a sermon on any. Lord of Lords, that right there is a sermon itself. Let me just move on to the next thing in verse 16 that he's going to show or demonstrate to the world when he comes back, who only hath immortality. Immortality means not subject to death. Man is subject to death, but the Lord was not. Every person in the Word of God who was ever raised from physical death back to physical life had to die again, except one. And that one was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from physical death, never to die again. He came back from the grave at his own, under his own power and at his own command. He had power to lay it down and he had power to take it up again. Hallelujah. He only has immortality. And he only has immortality. And when he comes, all believers will be caught up and we will take on a body like as unto his glorified body. And since he only has immortality, we'll take on his immortality when we see him. And we'll never have to die anymore. Then another thing he's going to show when he appears is dwelling in the light, who only hath immortality, and he dwells in the light. Where is Jesus right now? Well, he's dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. He is at the right hand of God tonight. Now, you and I could not go with these physical bodies that we have tonight for from right now from heaven in these physical bodies. We couldn't stand right now. We couldn't stand it if we'd come in the presence of Jesus. And when he's dwelling in the light, the Shekinah glory of God enshrouds him. And we could not with our physical eye. We would have to fall as a dead man if we'd go into the presence of such heavenly light. But one day, we'll get our glorified bodies, and then with our glorified bodies, with these glorified eyes, we'll get to look upon him who is dwelling in the light, and we'll get to see him in all of his beauty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then Paul closes that verse by saying, to whom be honor and power, that is everlasting, that is forever, amen, or so be it. So be it. So, if you're saved tonight, when Jesus comes back, you're going to take on that immortality and dwell with him there in heaven and be able to look upon him in all of his beauty. And if you're not saved, you'll never get to see the great King in his beauty. I want someday to see him, don't you? I want to see him with these eyes. Oh, I started out as a young boy, got saved as a young boy, and God put a desire in my heart as a young boy one day to see Jesus. I've been down this road a long time living for the Lord now. And I'm glad I'm still on the way. Don't intend to give up. Now what I should be as a Christian, but I don't intend to give up. I'm on, as Brother Mays says, I'm on my way to heaven with my hammer down. Hallelujah. And one day, by God's grace and nothing good in myself, with these eyes, I'll get to see the great King in his beauty when I've gone the last mile. The way. And that's why you ought to get saved tonight if you're not saved. So you don't miss heaven. And so you don't miss that glorified body. And so you don't miss getting to see Jesus in all his beauty. To miss heaven, I think the worst thing about it was we're going to miss Jesus for all eternity. I want to go to heaven because I want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if you're not saved tonight, why don't you come and receive him? One day you will have that glorified body. And if you are saved tonight, why don't you make him Lord of your life? You will. You'll have a great life. And know the blessing of God in 1990. God bless you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We have the song, when I've gone the last, I'll see the great King in his beauty. I've gone the last mile away. I'm not sure whether we have that or not. But every head bowed, every eye closed. And maybe tonight God's spoken to your heart. You're here without Jesus Christ. In this crowd of this size, I'm sure that in a crowd this size, there's somebody here tonight, or maybe a number here without Jesus Christ. Oh, it'd be a wonderful time to see you before we go into a new year. See you come and get on your knees here in this altar and invite Jesus to come into your heart and leave here a child of God on your way to heaven. That'd be a wonderful thing to see it. Or maybe you've never, Christian, you're saved tonight, but you really never consciously said, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. And I want you to call the shots in my life. Not only in 1990, but I want you to call the shots in my life the rest of my days on this earth. And make him, he is Lord. The blessing comes when we make him, allow him to be Lord of our life. Did you find that? Okay, I surrender. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to start playing "All to Jesus I Surrender." And if the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, if there's some spiritual decision you need to make, if you want to just come for prayer, or if you need to get saved, just get up from where you're seated. Come on down here right now. Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I die tonight, I'd go to heaven. But I do want to know the Lord. I do want to get saved." Pray for me. With our heads bowed now, so just other those here tonight, say, "Preacher, pray for me. God's spoken to my heart. There's a spiritual need in my life tonight. Pray for me." If there's someone like that, just slip that hand up. And I'll remember in the closing word of prayer. Just slip your hand up. God brought you here for a purpose on this, the eve of 1990. You're beginning a new year tomorrow, and you need the Lord. Be a good time to come to know Jesus and enter 1990, a child of God or dedicated to the Lord. Slip your hand up. I'll remember. Now let's see. Preston?